Please join the prayer for understanding of God's Word. Come, Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts this day, that we may be illumined by your living Word and walk together as children of light. Amen. Our reading from God's Word is from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Parable of the Valuable Coins. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability. Then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 5 more." His master replied, "Excellent, you are good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me." The second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me." Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, you have what's yours." His master replied, "You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvested grain where I haven't sown, and that I gathered crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have returned my money over to the bankers, so that when I returned, you could give me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to the one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him outside into the darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth." The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our sister in Christ for the beautiful job that she does and helping to lead worship every time she's liturgist. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you are at work in our lives, and we're grateful. Thank you for speaking into our lives and thereby creating, even when we're not aware of it. Thank you for your love through Jesus. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I was given an opportunity, and it was during one of the training exercises that happens here at the Marine Base. And I was given an opportunity to take a helicopter ride. And it was the first time for me. However, I wasn't sure what to expect. So that first time, you're not really sure what's going to happen. And they had us on one of those big Modecker helicopters. That's how well-versed I am in it. Modecker is what I call it. You know what a Modecker is? Something big, and you don't really know what else to call it, so you call it a Modecker. So I'm calling it a big Modecker. And it's one of those helicopters that in the back, the door goes down, and it's kind of open. I'm looking at a former Marine pilot, so he knows exactly what I'm talking about. And the windows are all open, okay? And as I'm walking into there, I'm thinking, are they going to close that door and shut the windows before we take off? And guess what? They didn't. So they strapped me in, literally, they strapped me in, and it turned out to be one of the best experiences I've ever had. That crew on that helicopter was fantastic, professional. And we need to just continue to pray for all of those who serve, especially whenever they have to deal with a nervous pastor. That's really, really whenever they're working hard. And it was great. And in fact, at one time, the helicopter kind of banked, and I'm looking out the window. I'm strapped in, you know. You don't want me dangling from the helicopter flying over the church. And it was just absolutely wonderful. But I wasn't sure at first, okay? And before we took off, I wasn't sure. But once we took off, that fear dissipated completely, and I wasn't afraid anymore. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Go ahead and say that to someone. Fear is the opposite of faith. It's true. Because when we are living based on fear, we're no longer focused on God. And this scripture passage is very much about living on fear rather than faith. Certainly, we're familiar with this story. And in the Gospel of Luke, it shares it in just a slightly different way. Generally, whenever a story appears in a couple of Gospels, it's probably pretty important for some reason. All of the stories are important. But this is reiterated here in Matthew, and it talks about servants, a master, the master going away for some time, and the master entrusting those servants with quite a bit. We think of talents right now as well, that person's talented, or that person's talented. We have talented people here in our music department. We have talented people throughout this church helping and working a lot of different ways. But talent here referred to a sum of money, and it was years of wages. This is a huge amount of money that was handed over. What happens as the master is away is informative for us as the church. We operate using what God has blessed us with in a faithful way, or will we be fearful? Will we be willing to risk ourselves and be true disciples, or we just want to kind of hole up and keep those things hidden in the ground? The first two servants, we understand, did risk. They went out and they multiplied the money. We're not exactly sure how, but we know that they did it. And they were equipped to do so, because understand in this story, the master is giving each of these according to what he believes their gifts and talents are. Okay. He's giving them more whenever he knows that they can handle more. They're more equipped. So those first two, they come for an accounting whenever the master comes back. And yeah, they've done well. And not only is he thrilled, but he says, come on in. I'm going to go ahead and really take care of you. I'm going to take care of your whole family. You're going to be blessed beyond anything you can imagine. Third servant comes in, and he's been fearful. In fact, he even says that in the scripture. I knew this about you, or this is what I thought about you, and this is what really guided my actions, Master. That's what he's saying. And what he did was bury it in the ground. Now, I don't know if any of you keep your money buried in the ground. If you do, please provide GPS coordinates. No. Don't do that. Don't go out of here saying the pastor wanted GPS coordinates to my hidden treasure in the backyard. But at that time, in that era, I want to share this with you, that was actually considered prudent to do with your money, to actually bury it. So he's doing something that in that context was seen as, okay, that was safe. But again, remember, discipleship is not about being safe. It's about being faithful to God. The response to that third servant is not good, is it? Lazy, wicked, different translations use. Pretty harsh. And this confronts us whenever we think that this passage is simply about money. It's about discipleship. It's about being faithful. It's about trusting in God above all else. There are things that we can be fearful of, certainly. And whenever you read the news or whenever you look at the paper, certainly there's a lot of things that that cause fear, cause concern. But this passage is about certain other things. Resisting fear, but it's also about living. This passage is about investing in the kingdom of God. This passage is about taking risks. This passage is about Jesus himself and what he has already done, and also what is about to happen to him. Because in context, we understand that as he's sharing this story, okay, he is getting closer and closer and closer to the cross. You think about fear. Jesus is getting closer to the cross, and yet he continues to head in that direction and to preach boldly about what it is to be disciples and what it is to be kingdom builders. Mostly, it's about hope and what we can hope for. For us, the greatest risk is not being willing to risk anything. Not caring deeply and profoundly about anything. Not giving our heart away to God and in the process risking everything. The greatest risk of all, as Christians, is playing it safe and burying what God has given us to share in the ground. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, some of you may have heard that name, a leader of the resistance movement in Nazi Germany, said that the sin of respectable people is running from responsibility. Bonhoeffer, who was a pacifist, took his own responsibility so seriously, he joined the resistance and helped plan an assassination attempt on Hitler's life. Bonhoeffer's responsibility eventually cost him his life. He served communion in prison that morning, and then that afternoon he was hung as a traitor. Risk. Yeah, risk is something that we are called to be about as Christians. Now, that doesn't mean I want any of you to all of a sudden go out and buy a skateboard, okay? Are we clear about that? Pastor, you said I should be risky, so I went out, and if I'm standing over you in the ER, I don't want to have this conversation with you. No. To be willing to trust in God, to be willing to be people of faith, rather than fear, okay? That's what this passage is about. That's what Jesus is challenging people to do, and that's what I'm asking you to do also. There's a community called the Magdalene Community, and this is their mission statement, speaking of stepping out in faith rather than fear. This is their mission statement. We are a community of people who have survived prostitution, trafficking, and addiction. We believe that in the end, love is the strongest force in the world for change. This is a ministry. This is a movement. This is a place of healing. And this is a place based on God's grace. And you think about these women, these children of God, these sisters in Christ who have been abused, used, considered a product more than a human being. Beaten down, certainly instilled in them, in their deepest part of their heart, that you're nothing and you need to be fearful. Hear these words of incredible faith and hope and power from one sister in Christ recovering from this. I remember when I surrendered myself. It was the biggest turnaround of my life. I woke up one morning in the community and took my wig off. I took it off because I needed to be myself. I was ready to stop hiding and ready to start growing. I was ready to work with others and make some changes and to see the real me. I wanted to be the person who has dreams and goals and lives them out. I wanted others to see me. I decided that day that I was beautiful, even with the scars and messed up teeth. I knew that God had plans for me, and because of His belief in me, now this is really a statement of faith, that nothing could hurt me. Did you hear that statement of faith? I knew that God had new plans for me, and because of His belief in me, that nothing could hurt me. This is a sister in Christ, beaten, abused, humiliated, used, thrown out like trash. And yet, even in that, even amidst that, and coming out of that, she's trusting. Not fearful anymore, but faith-filled. For us, there are times when we are going to have to use every fiber of our being to be faithful rather than fearful. It's so easy to let fear creep in and to be afraid of things. But we, as the church, not only are called to do this for ourselves, but as modern-day disciples, we are called to do it for a world that needs to see faith more than anything else, now more than ever. The church is more important now and more essential, the church meaning all of us together working in the name of Jesus Christ, than at any time in all of history. And we have that call once again, this very day. Did you realize that coming today wasn't simply about sitting there and then going to brunch? Did you realize that? It wasn't just simply about showing up. It was about hearing and receiving this call, your personal call again, to be faithful, not fearful. It was about being reminded that you, yes, you, I'm talking to you. I do that with some of you specifically. You are a disciple. You are a disciple in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we're at different places, certainly. No question about it. No question about it. And some of us are feeling stronger than others, more faithful than others. And maybe for some of us, our fears are massive, are huge. But you can do amazing things, whether you believe it or not. There's a story. You've probably heard this story, but let me go ahead and share it story about a little girl named Annie. And this is about being willing to follow and to step forward and follow how God is leading in the midst of great odds sometimes, in situations where it'd be a lot easier to be fearful than faithful. But Annie was a little girl in 1876, and she was 10 years of age. She was put into a home for children, and her mother and father had died. Her aunt and uncle found her too difficult to handle. She was a bad disposition. She had bad disposition. Nobody wanted her. Nobody wanted her. And she was out of control, sometimes even had to be restrained. But there was another person, another resident of that children's home named Maggie, who cared for Annie. Okay? Annie's still out of control, still wild, and yet Maggie, rather than being fearful, was faithful and stepped forward to help this young girl. Maggie talked to her, fed her. And even though Annie would throw her food on the floor and at Maggie, cursing and rebelling, Maggie continued to serve because she was a Christian. And out of her convictions, she was determined to love this dirty, unkept, spiteful, unloving little girl. It wasn't easy, but slowly but surely, Annie started to make a change. And she realized that she wasn't the only one suffering in that place. And she saw that Maggie had also been abandoned. That's why she was there in that place. And gradually, Annie started to respond to this love, to this faith, not fear. She responded to faith, not fear. Maggie told Annie, she grew older, about a school for the blind. And Annie began to beg to be sent there. And finally was given consent to be sent there. And after a series of operations, Annie's sight was partially restored. She was able to finish her schooling and graduate at the age of 20. Now that's enough of a celebration based on faith. But as Paul Harvey would say, this is the rest of the story. Having been blind so long, she told the director of this place that she'd gotten this surgery, that she wanted to work with blind and difficult children. She wanted to do this. She had become a Christian. They had located a little 7-year-old girl in Alabama who was blind and deaf from the age of 2. And so Annie, and I'll share her last name with you now, Annie Sullivan, went to Alabama to unlock the door of Helen Keller's dark prison and set her free. Faith is an amazing thing. Just a little bit of it, just trusting, just trying, understanding that God is the one in control, and God has gifted each and every one of us and blessed each and every one of us, and it's not ours to hide that in the ground, but rather to share it and trust in God, not be overcome by fear. Mother Teresa offers this quote: "People are often unreasonable and self-centered. You've probably never experienced that in your life, but Mother Teresa has." Okay? And we understand that upon her death, by the way, Mother Teresa, in some of her writings, expressed challenges to her own faith, didn't she? I'll share that with you. So it's not like this was somebody that always felt strong in her faith, but even when she had a little bit, she was willing to share it. Huh? She was willing to trust. "People are often unreasonable and self-centered. These are her words: forgive them anyway. Whether you like it or not." Those are Neil's words. "If you are kind, people will accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. And if you go around smiling, this is Neil's edition, people will wonder what you're up to. Just do that. Just keep smiling constantly in line at Fry's and see what happens. The good you do today, back to Mother Teresa, may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. My friends, can we be people of faith rather than fear? My friends, can we be people of faith rather than fear? That makes me feel better. That makes me feel better. I wasn't sure if I was going to have to go on for another 52 hours or not, so thank you. Just a little bit. That's all. That's all. If that's God, tell him I'm almost done. Just a little bit of faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Jesus also said that. Faith the size of a mustard seed is all you need. You no longer have to fear. God loves you more than you can imagine. And he wants you to share that love in the name of Jesus. Join with me in prayer.